All right, well, I think it's time to begin. Good morning to everyone. Is this about right, Brian? Or is it too high, too low? I'm not sure where.
Perfect,
Jackie says. Okay. It's good to see everyone. Hope everyone's had a good week, ready to start a new week. Before we get started in our class, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for how you watch over us each day. Thank you, Father, for the health that we have, for the spiritual health that we have. Help us, Father, to look to you when we're weak and either. We'd ask that you would help us to depend on you. Be with us this morning, and not only in this class, but be with all the teachers, Father, that your word might be taught. Help us to be open-minded and to be willing to consider the things that you would have us to know. We pray for wisdom. We pray for unity and truth. And we'd ask that you would be with us later as we worship you, that we might do so in spirit and in truth. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in our kind of summer series where we're having different teachers teach for a period of time, and actually I've figured out that there are 5 Sundays in August. I thought there were 4. So you've got me for 4, 3 more, including this morning, and then Van is going to wrap us up on the last Sunday in August before Doug teaches the next quarter and on the minor prophets. And he started that study kind of just before COVID or during COVID when it kicked off, and he's going to kind of finish that off for us. So last week we started, and the hint is Psalm 46, 9 and 10. But we started with kind of a theme of what does Psalm 46, 9 and 10 tell us, or what was kind of one of the main message that we were taking away there?
Be still and know the Lord.
Be still, right? And know that I am God. Right? Be still and know that I am God. And we talked about how easy it is to get busy and to be distracted. It's amazing, even when we're not busy actually doing something, how we tend to occupy our minds and be busy with something. Right? We can stay distracted or stay focused on something, and sometimes it's not on God or it's not on the things that, doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong per se, but it's just, it's not contemplating God. And Romans 1, and we'll turn there just for a moment, and then we'll jump to where we left off. But in Romans 1, starting around verse 16, it's where Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he goes down to verse 18. Well, verse 17 says that the just will live by faith. And in verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are what? They are clearly seen, being understood by what?
Things are
the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, or we, are what? We're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. So he's talking about the unrighteousness of men at that time. And he says, listen, they're without excuse. Because it's clearly seen, if you slow down and you look around and you think about this, that there's God, right? That there's something going on here. Right? We talked last week that 85% of the world has a faith. I mean, 85% believe something. Right? Man is seeking. Man, they get something's going on. Now, we don't all agree, and we don't all understand things the same way, but men are seeking.
Well, that's the reason Simon says that the person who says there's no God is a fool, because of all the evidence around him, he just is not using sound judgment in his thinking process.
And we talk about that, and you're like, well, you know, we talked about kids last week a little bit, right? And as you're growing up, do you really appreciate or think about how everything works in the house and outside the house and how food gets to the table and how bills get paid for and how medical bills get paid for and your dentist appointments and all of that stuff? I mean, when you're a kid, now the evidence is around you if you kind of pay attention to it, but, you know, you're a kid. You're not thinking about medical bills, and you're not thinking about buying groceries or maintaining a car. You just get in the car. When mom or dad says, get in the car, you get in the car, and you just think it goes. Then it's once, you know, you have your own car, and you realize, man, gas can be expensive, and you got, what's oil changes, and you got to check this, and, you know, I thought the tires ran forever, and, you know, you start to realize that this takes maintenance, that there's a lot more going on here than I realized. And that's how we can be in this world, right? The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The perfect amount of oxygen is here. We're the perfect distance from the sun, right? All of the food that we can have, the way that we can grow things. This, I mean, you think about, just think about the shape of all the planets. How many things do you collide, when two cars collide out here on the road, do they all normally turn into circles? Well, I mean, what are the chances of that? I mean, you got to slow down for a minute and just think about this. It's clearly seen, he says, they are without excuse. All right. We talked about what does God want out of the creation. So what we're really trying to talk about at some level is, if you were going to create everything, if you were God, how would you do it? You have the power to do whatever you want to do. You're God. How would you do it? And we to think about that and to appreciate what's around us and how we are, I'm going to try to get to it this morning. I broke it into three categories. We're going to talk about the physical. We want to talk about creation. And we want to talk about the gospel. All right? But if you think about, if you were going to create things, how would you do it? The first thing is you got to know, what does God want out of it? And what did we say last week? What are some things that he wants? What's he seeking?
A relationship.
He's seeking a relationship.
Worship.
He's seeking worship. Right? He wants those to worship him, and to worship him, right, in spirit and in truth. God is what?
Spirit.
He's a spirit. That's exactly right. The passage I was thinking of is God is love too, right? So God is a spirit, and he seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he He wants our love. He wants that relationship. He wants obedience. And so, he wants to be worshiped and praised. We looked at that. And I asked the question, why not just create beings that just worship you?
He wants to be chosen.
He wants to be chosen. I mean, do we all not want to be chosen at some level? I mean, we don't want something that's forced. We want to be chosen. You can get put on a team. Isn't it really more special when the team chooses you? They want you on the team, right? You ever been the kid that's sitting there and they're picking? And you're the last one and it's like, all right, we'll take Patrick. All right? Okay, well, I mean, that doesn't feel great. Right? You want to be chosen. You want to be picked because of who you are. God wants to be chosen. You know, He wants to be picked because we recognize who He is and because we want to worship Him and we want to be with Him. Now, Revelation 1, 15 and 16, you can turn there if you want, not going to read it. But Jesus talks about those who are lukewarm. And He says, I wish you were either cold or hot, right? You can't be in this middle with me. He goes, or I'll do what? I'm just going to spit you out of my mouth. He goes, it's distasteful. Like, pick. Right? Have some courage. Pick. Either say you're with me or you're what? You're against me. But don't try to do this cowardly thing in the middle. Stand for something. Stand for me. Stand for who I am. Stand for what I believe in. Or go walk away. Do your thing. But don't think I'm stupid. Right? You need to choose. Matthew 6:24, Jesus tells them in the Sermon on the Mount. What does He tell them there? Matthew 6:24. Someone can read that. We'll read that one.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loved by loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the master.
All right. Thank you. So He's like, you've got to pick. You can't have two masters. And this is what He's doing. He's forcing the choice. So He could create beings that don't have a choice that will worship Him, right? Jesus said, I can make these rocks cry out and praise me. I've got that kind of power. Now we're going to talk about this in a minute. Is there going to be a time when you don't have a choice to praise God or not? How so?
When you die.
Okay. So think about that. We're going to come around to that in a minute. Okay. So think, do you have a choice in heaven? And I think we're going to talk about that. And hopefully, if not today, Lord willing, next week. Right? But right now, for sure, there's a choice. He didn't want to just set it up that way out of the gate. Because He wants to be chosen. He only wants those who want to worship Him, who made the sacrifice, who love Him for who He is, who had a relationship with Him. And because of that relationship, because of the trials, which we'll talk about in a moment, when I ask you, why do we have trials in this life? Why not create a body that doesn't get sick? Why not create a body that never gets hungry? Because of that dependence on your Father and the relationship that you build, He knows when you come before Him, she is mine. She wants to be with me. She's made that decision. She's made it clear. If you love me, you'll what?
Keep
my commandments. She has sacrificed to be with me. I know what she wants. All right? And you come in. Now, if you believe that worshiping and serving God brings him pleasure, what's a logical thing to assume if we don't love, worship, serve God?
It brings him pain.
It brings him pain.
Like a parent, your child do that which is wrong. It's not a pleasant thought.
And remember that when I ask, why did he give us children? That's a question. Let me tell you, everything that's around us, don't just think that, you know, well, the lights just come on and all this stuff. He has designed our experience. He has designed our experience. He is sending us messages. Right? Thing is, do we pick up on it? Or do we just think all this just happens? Yeah, we have kids. Why do we have kids? He didn't have to give us, he could give us adult kids. They could drop out of the sky. A stork could bring them. I mean, there's a million different ways he could have done this. He's God. He designed it the way that he did. And so when a child doesn't do the right thing for us or doesn't listen to us, it brings us pain. How many times does Jesus make the parallel between the father and a son? Right? He's saying, you know how that feels. You know what that's like. Or what father, when his son asks him for a fish, right, gives him a rock? If your kid looks up at you and says they're hungry and they're hungry, I mean, if you have anything to give, are you not going to try to find something to give that kid to eat? Will your father who loves you not do the same? Why did he give us children? How does that help us understand what choice we're going to make? We are here to make a choice. To love God, to serve him, or not. Right? Look at 2 Peter 3:9. What does that say? What is this telling you about God and his character towards us?
God wants to save.
He wants us. Right? This whole idea that there's this mean, evil guy, bearded guy in the sky who's just looking to crush you. He's like, anybody who loves me, anybody, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Anybody who's willing to sacrifice a little bit and to follow me, I want you. I want you forever. But I'm not going to force myself on you. Choose you this day who you'll serve. You pick. And it tells us that he's what towards us? He's long-suffering. Does God suffer? He's putting himself in a situation where he feels pain. Where he hurts. If someone you don't know walks up on the street and someone walks up to you, you've never seen them before in your life, and they go, you know, Jody, I don't like you. Now, it might shock you a little bit. Are you heartbroken because this person walked up to you in Walmart and said they don't like you? I mean, you might, you know, wonder, well, what did I do to you? Or I don't even know you, or, you know, but When you don't have a relationship, I mean, you don't, but God, right, he's long-suffering towards us. He has that relationship. It hurts him. It pains him. And he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all should have everlasting life. Look at Genesis 6:3. In Genesis 6:3,
and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, here he's like, my spirit's not going to strive with man forever, right, on this earth. This isn't going to be a forever thing. He's long-suffering. He wants to give us a shot. This is all about choice. But it's not going to be forever. Right? It's not going to be forever. At one point, you know, it's going to end. And when you drop down, look at verse 5 and 6. But look at... someone read 5, 6, and 7 of Genesis 6, same chapter.
And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.
Thank you. Why was he sorry?
Man was evil.
He was evil. And why does God care if he's evil? What does that mean to God?
They didn't choose him.
He didn't choose him. He says, I'm a jealous God. He goes, I wish I hadn't made him. Because now it's right in his face. It says, the Lord saw. The Lord's watching. The Lord saw. He didn't wind this thing up and, okay, we'll see, and I'll see you in 5,000 years, or I'll come back in 10,000 years. We'll see how everything's going. I'll sort it out then. He's watching. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think about how hard it is on this earth. I've let people down. I'm sure you've let people down. Think how much more pain if those people knew every thought and intent of your heart. Just think about that. God has that kind of insight. And he's set it up. Why? Because he wants the cream of the crop later. He wants those who their hearts are with him. He's willing to go through that for a period of time. My spirit's not going to strive with man forever. But for this period of time, I'm going to give him choice. And then I'm going to lock it down because I will know who wants to be with me. Those people, I will lock it down. And they will worship me and I will take care of them. I will wipe away every tear. They will have no more sorrow. They will have no more pain. They will have no more sickness because it's not needed. Those things are needed for a reason now. It's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Job said, oh, well, should I praise God when things are going well? It's those who praise God and stay with God when things aren't going well. when I don't get my way, when I don't understand everything in the moment. It says in verse 6, and he was grieved in his heart. That's why David says, oh God, what? For against you I have sinned. Right? He realizes his sin. And the pain and the disappointment. The God has seen all. Sometimes we just think, you know, again, almost like a 9-year-old. God doesn't have feelings. Oh, my parents don't have feelings. I can say anything to my parents. I can do anything, right? Kids say some nasty things sometimes. I can say anything. I can do anything. They'll always be there. They almost have to be there for me. Do we not treat God that way sometimes? Doesn't matter what I do, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what I say. He'll be there. He has to be. He's God. And we don't think about the anguish and the pain. It does grieve him. God wants someone when you give someone free choice, we know at some point they're going to choose incorrectly. And look at Romans 9. I'm just going to read this, but just Romans 9:18. We're going to start there. For I considered that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right?
Romans
9? Oh, sorry. Hold on. That's why I stared at it for a moment. I'm like, what is this? I'm in Romans 8. It is Romans 9. I told you the right thing. Therefore, so Romans 9:18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, who does he still find fault? Or why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they should be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the will of the Lord make a short work upon the earth, because the will of the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath has left us a seed, we should have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. Okay. The point here that I want to make is that in verse 18, which I finally figured out where I was, it says, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. God is seeking us. He doesn't want any man to perish, right? Any person to perish. And he's only going to be, you know, this time on earth is for a short period of time. It's not going to endure forever. And so he wants someone who's going to fight for him. He wants someone who's going to push through. And when you look at Job, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, you look at that example. As Satan walks around all proud like he is and arrogant, well, if you took all these things away, right? Have you considered my servant Job? And all of the things that Job endured, and he never sinned with his lips, right? We're told. He wants someone who hungers and thirsts after him, as Matthew 5:6 tells us, that we're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes. As newborn babes, right? We know, for those of us, again, what's the benefit of kids? If you've seen a child, you know how they get tunnel vision on one thing. And when they're little, it's tunnel vision on food. When they want to eat, they want to eat. And they hunger and thirst for that. And he says, that's how I want you to be. Right? When you see that, that's what I want you to be for righteousness.
Jesus says, learn obedience by the things he suffered. I mean, even God's own son wasn't allowed to go through this life with everything being hunky-dory. He suffered and struggled in life just like everybody does.
That's right. So God knows we're going to choose wrong. He's given us free choice. He knows that. So he set this up because he wants to know who really wants to be on my team. Who really wants to be with me? Who really loves me? Who's willing to fight for me, to seek after me? Matthew 7:7, seek and ye shall find. Right? Knock and I'll open. Just take some steps. He's talks about the prodigal son. It's the father. He's looking out. He's just waiting. Just make some steps. Come to me. I'll run towards you. But he knows we're going to fail sometimes. And how did he remedy that sin? What was his plan?
Christ.
Right? John 3:16 that we hear so often. God so loved the world, what? He gave his only son. I mean, just think about this for a minute. He either creates us at the beginning where we have no choice and he just forces us to worship him, or he gives us a choice knowing that no man is perfect. Now he has to remedy that. And he needs a perfect sacrifice. Now he's got to sacrifice his son and endure that to give us the chance to be seen as clean in his sight for that relationship with him. I mean, God is going a long way to get people who choose him and want to be with him. I mean, he's going a long way here to get people who love him, that it's not under, that you're compelled, that, you know, it's compliance, that you don't have a choice. I'm going to lock you in a box and make you say praises to me. That's not what you get when you read Revelation. And you see them singing, "Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb." All praise to God. It's not a sense of people being stuck there. But he's had to go through all of this and even send his son and watch his son be on a cross and yell out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You don't think he felt anything? Think if your son or your daughter yelled out to you in pain and said, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me here?" How are you going to feel? Don't say that God doesn't love you. So now that we know what he wants, and that's really the setup, at some level to say, this is what God wants. He wants the relationship. You have to start there to understand how he set everything up in motion and why he's done what he's done. So if you think about it in that context, and if you remember that God wants humans who will worship him, who will praise him, who will love him by their own choice, that they choose him. That's what he's going for. He wants to be chosen. He wants to be followed. He wants to be adored. He wants to be worshiped. So now let's think about, so then why did he do some, why did he create some of the things the way that he did? And you can understand them a little bit better in that context. So why give us a physical body? Why put us in a physical body? What does being in a physical body do for us? Or what does it do in the bigger scheme? I mean, why not be spiritual? Why not just have spiritual? I mean, let's not forget, you know, I've asked the question, are you a body with a spirit or are you a spirit with a body? Like, who are you? And if you're spirit, if you believe you're spirit and you're a spirit with a body, then why not just be spirit and let the spirits choose? I mean, we're spirit anyway. Why not just have a bunch of spirits around? What does this have to do with the bigger plan? Why did he choose to do this to us? To put us in, you know, this?
A lot of the conflicts between the flesh and the spirit that is in it. So your body has a desire to do things that are carnal, things that are pleasing to the body, and at the same time, a great number of those things, obviously, are evil. And so the spirit's constantly having to try to buffer the body and prevent it from doing those things that are wrong.
Okay. So the body creates some challenges, right, that we're going to have to make some decisions over. Okay, that's part of it for sure.
Shows us our limitations, too.
Okay. So it shows us our limitations, right? I mean, when you're in this body, you know, sometimes when you're early in your body and you're 22, you know, you're kind of feeling it, right? I can pretty much do, you know, those are the ones that are jumping off of cliffs and doing all kinds of stuff, and because you feel, right? Which we could talk about that, and we will. We're going to get to that. Is like, why do we get old? Why aren't we 22 forever and then just die one day? Like, why not give me the 22-year-old body forever and then just let me drop over at some point? Why do I have to lose my hair, right? Why do my hormones have to change, my metabolism? I got to get fat. Okay, it's so hard to keep in shape or to feel good. I mean, like, why make this so difficult on me? So what are some of the reasons, what else for this body? So one is that we have the struggles of the body, but what does that do? Creates
something other than ourselves.
Okay, creates dependence. Well, and what is that something other than ourselves? Creates dependence on God. Right? I mean, He creates this. He puts us in this. So here we are. Now, what if... what if we were spirit, and what if there were spirits all around? And the other question I'll ask later, the creation, why doesn't God present himself to us? But why doesn't he? Listen, I've got pages of questions like this, okay? I don't have the answers to all these questions. So when you're sitting there and I ask a question, don't think like there is the answer. This is a little bit of, Why do you not think, why doesn't God present himself to us? Why doesn't he present angels to us right now? I mean, I know he did at one point. People saw angels.
But you can't see a spirit with your carnal eyes. So that even when God presented himself, like to Moses, it was in a figure of a burning bush. Why? Well, because Moses couldn't see the spirit of God. But he can see the manifestation of God, God's presence.
I think it would just make it too easy. I mean, that would take out a huge chunk of faith in what it is and why it exists.
When Christ comes, he says, what does he say about the knees of people? Every knee will bow. Let me tell you, when you see Christ coming in his glory, and the trumpet sounds, figure in the skies part, and you see the Son of God, let me tell you, everybody, right? Just a little bit, even that soldier who stood there looking up at Christ, and after earthquakes and people coming out of their graves and everything else that's going on, and what did he say?
Surely
this was the Son of God. We messed up.
I mean, there's the phrase, seeing is believing. I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen in the world, happen to people. You hear an audio recount of it, and a lot of people are like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Or when it happens to me, I'll believe it.
God has given us enough. But he's also not made it so obvious that you're compelled, that you must believe. That's part of why he's saying, be still. Slow yourself down. I've given you enough intelligence. Things are clearly seen. You are without excuse. Don't say, oh, I'm not smart enough, or I don't really know. Slow down. Think this thing through. I've given you enough. Think about how you feel. Think about what I want from you. Think about what you've been told. I made sure you got this, which is another thing we could talk about. Why do it as a Bible? Why do it as a book? Right? I want to get us off. But he's like, slow down. Look around. You have enough to figure this out. But he's not going to make it so compelling. Right out of the gate, he's saying it's clearly seen if you're looking for it. How many times have we had things right there and we don't see it? Right? We had a dog. That dog could run right by a cat sometimes, and I mean, now, he never missed a squirrel. Okay, but he was tuned into squirrels. And we used to laugh sometimes. There'd be a cat in the backyard sitting somewhere. It wasn't our cat. I mean, he'd run out for squirrel be in the tree. He didn't even see the cat. Depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for, you know, seek and you will find? Are you looking for the spiritual? Are you looking for the physical? What are you looking for? When you seek it, you'll find it. I'll show it to you. All right, we're going to talk more about the physical next week and all of the physical things that God has put in place and how it fits into his bigger picture of helping us come to the conclusion to choose him. Thanks.